Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration from the Center for Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
So I invite you to receive the gift of that beautiful song. Receive the gift of the silence that preceded that expression of love. This Sunday we're going to explore the idea of receiving the gifts of life, knowing that life is pouring out a blessing on all of us with every breath that we take. Could we open to the grace of every moment and drink from the cup of love that life is offering to us? Today is Father's Day. And when we have a holiday like this, I open to the Father within and the Father all around, not as a gender thing, but as a nurturing presence, God the Father, Jesus, when he would refer to God the Father, he would say the word Abba. And Abba means beloved. And over the years of history, we've turned beloved into Father. And so we reframe that idea of a heavenly presence. The soul itself is androgynous. It's both male and female. So I like to bump this idea of God up to the androgyny of spirit. It is both masculine and feminine. And in that beautiful unity, there is a sense of wholeness there. Each one of us is the Father. And each one of us is the mother. And each one of us is the child. And then you experience the sacred trinity of creation. There is Brahman, which is the creative force in the universe. There is Atman, which is the soul in expression. And then there is what the Christians call the Holy Spirit, which is the energy of the divine moving through all creation. As we become like a child, meaning innocent, curious, and filled with wonder, we can rediscover our true nature. Not as some concretized idea that we've been handed down by religious zealots, but as an intimate sense of belonging to the universe. Universe, the one song. We are all notes in that song. So when Emily graces the Gershwin tune with her beautiful voice, we're transported into a direct experience of a life where the living is easy, with Mammy and Pappy standing by, Divine Father and the Divine Mother, always there to assist us in this growth experience called life. But it does require that we participate. And we participate by opening and receiving the grace of the moment, the givingness of spirit to itself with every breath that we take. So with playful curiosity, now I invite you to open your eyes and enter into this space with me as we explore the theme for the month as it gets deeper. The theme for this month, for those of you who haven't been here, is to bless the life that we've been given. We've all been given this incarnation. And it's so funny, when I was typing out the theme for this month, I accidentally typed for the website, blessing the lives that we've been given. And I had to go back and take off lives and put life. And maybe there was a Freudian slip there, because I think we've had this go around maybe many times. And could we learn from those lives that we've lived here, knowing that perhaps this lifetime is the culmination of some growth and some evolution in consciousness, and that in a strange sort of way we chose this incarnation to serve at a higher level in an evolutionary spiral upward. Someone told me that the spiritual path isn't an ascension like this. It's rather an ascending spiral. And sometimes we go into the darkness and we go back into the light, and sometimes we recycle our growth experiences, but ultimately we are ascending in consciousness. And that's why you're all here, to support each other, to uplift each other, and to remind each other that we're all in this together. And as Rumi said, we need each other to walk each other home. Beloved Emily was with a young lady yesterday, and she said, I could have seen it as a draining experience, but I saw it as a nurturing one. Whenever we open our heart to another and we offer that space to another, we may think we're helping them, but in a strange sort of way, they're helping us by inviting us to share the sacred pain where we come together as one. So I have this wonderful book in my library called The Gentle Art of Blessing, and it's a spiritual practice. It's based on the Namaste consciousness. When you see someone out there, Namaste, I see the God in you. Namaste, I see the God in you. You're really conferring a blessing on them. You're saying, basically, I love you. You're a part of myself. And so throughout this book, she says, when you walk past a prison, send a blessing to the inmates. When you walk past a hospital, send a blessing. We have these two homeless women in Five Points that sit down by Star Market every day, and they religiously leave at 7:58 when they're told the store is opening, but it's a mother and daughter. And every time I pass them, I send them a blessing, this mother and daughter. So she goes on to say in this lovely book, she says this, life places on our path exactly the kind of experiences that are appropriate for teaching us the lessons that we need to learn at any given moment. Last Sunday, I spoke on the idea, could we trust that life will give us what we need? So she's saying, life, strangely enough, gives you everything you need on this growth experience called life. I used to have a phrase called an AFGO. It's another freaking growth obstacle. I've changed it to an ABGO, another blessed growth opportunity. So when your AFGOs become ABGOs, you know that you're getting better. Right, Jinan? So they're no longer an AFGO, they're an ABGO, another blessed growth opportunity. So absolutely, she says, every event can become an opportunity to learn a needed lesson or to discover some powerful new vista, to see things differently. Maybe this too was for me. And then you hear Emma Curtis Hopkins, this too is good, this too is for God, and I demand to see the blessing. It was Ram Dass, and Adam loves to remind me of that. Ram Dass said, everyone and everything that you encounter in this lifetime is here for your transformation. And then he says, so use them. And so when we have those AFGOs, could we turn them into ABGOs by just blessing it instead of condemning it? Something happened to your little flower in the garden, Jinan, but you know she's going to be bushier and prettier because she lost her initial bud. But guess what? When you lose the top bud, you bush out and you become adorable. The Apostle James states this. It's a little Christian. When all kinds of trials and tribulations crowd into our lives, my brothers, he said, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. So when we have these moments in life that seem almost intolerable, instead of resenting them and rejecting them and judging them, could we invite them in? It's Rumi's guest house. When all those things come knocking at your door, the anxiety, the fear, the judgment, Rumi says, invite them all in. They may be coming to clean out your house. Sit them down at the table and say, tell me more. So by embracing the enemy, and she talks about when Jesus said to love the enemy, what he was really saying was bless the enemy. because it really isn't the enemy. It's a projection of your own consciousness. Mark taught me that. His father was a psychologist, right? And it's all a big projection of your own self. So when you take back the projection instead of making the enemy out there, well, then you can heal the very enemy that you find in your own heart. I had this experience a week and a half ago, and trusting that life will give me everything I need, and I fell off some steps at Taravaggio, managed to catch my balance on my foot, which launched me into the bushes, which caught me. But then I had this pain in my leg that was excruciating. So I heard the voice of the coach when I was taking football. You can imagine that was a long time ago, who would say, just walk it out, just walk it out. And then I thought, if Gigi can walk out through the pain, and if Susan can walk through the pain, well, surely I can walk through the pain, because I was a dancer and a yoga teacher. And so I'm stretching the leg, and I'm stretching, I'm doing everything. And I just made it worse. It got so bad that it went from a 1 to a 9. And then when we got home from dinner, I collapsed in the garage. And 911, I've never been in an ambulance before. And they hooked me up to every kind of machine. And they said, your blood pressure is 50 over 30. And it was dropping. And so they started putting fluids in me. And I'm thinking, trust that everything is here for my good. Trusting that everything is here that I need. And so I thought, okay, stop working on a sermon while you're in the ambulance. And they think you're going to die. And they brought me into the emergency room 5 hours later. Everybody's worried. And I'm just trying to find that place of peace. To try, and there's a gift in here somewhere. You know the old story. If there's that much poop in the barn, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. So I was trying to find the pony in the midst of that pain. And my blood pressure started up 70 over 40, and then it went up to 90 over 50. And when it got to 130 over 90, I was just rejoicing. Oh, it's back to normal. I'm up high where it's supposed to be. So the blood pressure gets, and I want them to release me, but they won't release me because they have to make sure that I'm not going to die. So 5 hours later, they dismissed me. And then I came home with a very confused consciousness. What am I going to do with this? She goes on to say, I felt almost like an observer of what was happening to me. Anybody been there? You're observing yourself going through an experience. As Sri Aurobindo said, the personality of the instrumental doer ceases. Though he acts, he does nothing, for he has given up not only the fruits of his works, but the works themselves and the doing of them to the Lord. The Supreme Being becomes the creator within us, and it acts, and the results are transformational. So you step out of the way and you let the Father within do with the work, as Jesus would say. You let this peaceful awareness that is our true nature surface in those moments when little David was really the problem. And then as I looked back on that whole transpiration and I saw the doctor this week, he said, and it's so funny, the first talk of this series was only the heart can enter. And in that was a quote from my Zen calendar. It said, the mind can take you to the threshold of wisdom, but it is only the heart that can enter in. Whereas the mind strategizes to find meaning and creates a web of meaning, it is the heart that brings us alive. And so here I'm saying, could I have listened to the wisdom of my heart? When my beloved Pam Hurdy came to see me after I got out of the emergency room, she says, don't you know, David, that radical pain requires radical rest. And you were doing just the opposite of that. You were taking that radical pain and you made it worse and worse until your body said stop. And it took you down so that you could finally enter into the heart space and nurture yourself. So could I claim the gift of that experience, Miss Sylvia, instead of being the victim of it? And then change the way I'm looking at it. It wasn't a bad thing. Things aren't bad or good, but thinking makes it so. So we're teaching this lovely little class called Trusting in the Gold by Tara Brach. And it's so perfect because she hits the nail on the head. Have you noticed how life is so synchronistic? I read the assignment for next week and she talks about how if you label something to be a problem, well, then you are making it into a problem. But if you can change the way you speak about it and maybe call it an opportunity or a course correction, well, then life will smile at you and you're no longer mired in what you've identified and labeled as problem, because then it's your consciousness that makes it so. The word is in your mouth, as Emerson would say, a blessing or a curse according to how you use it. So are you Oh, that was Moses that said that. Yeah, I'm getting my people confused. So here's Terebratt. It's all the one voice. She said it was amazing. Just decided that what we were facing wasn't really a problem, created a little more space in that my way of thinking about it, and a little less friction on what had seemed to be an intractable issue. Once I stopped labeling it as a problem, then I could see that there's space in here for some kind of resolution, Miss Susan, in a loving way with my hip. The hip wasn't the problem. It was the opportunity for a new hip. Well, I just changed the way I refer to it. It's an inside job. Rather, it makes room. So removing the frame of problem from the challenges that arise is not a delusional practice of denial in which we diminish the experience of real suffering and then we see harm. Rather, it makes room for us to recognize more clearly what is happening without assuming that life should be different and calling the situation bad. There is no good or bad, but thinking makes it so. My beloved Mark Accomando, he took his ministry to rehabilitation, and he works at all these rehab centers in Palm Springs, and he works with a lot of people who are chronically depressed. And he says, I remember what you said to me, David, way back in Huntsville, when you said, if you call it my depression, then you're owning it. But if you can say it is the depression, and the depression, just like the anxiety or the fear, I don't own them. The fear arises, I see it, and I can see it for what it is and what it isn't. The depression, it arises, it comes and it goes, so it's not the permanent truth of me. And then there's this ability to just have that little place of detachment. You see it from a detached awareness. There's reason to be depressed on this planet. You know, we all can have a little moment. You know, I watch the news sometimes and I go, ugh. And then I turn it off and I put on Pandora and the music picks me up and I've set myself free from my own ain't it awful kind of narrative. And it's easy to go there, especially if you married Mr. Ain't It Awful, because misery loves company. Have you ever learned that one? And if you don't go there with the people who want the misery, well, then you've in a way created space. So she says this, rather, it makes room to recognize more clearly what is happening without assuming that life should be anything different than what it is and calling that situation bad. So we can then see things just as they are, not as how we wish they would be, with all their painful twists and tangles and also their potential for creative responses and deep awakening. It's so funny, you know, we had my sweet husband is the treasurer, and he noticed that our utility bill went way high one month. And so we got a little curious, and we found out that the pipes that had burst in the wall. And then Gigi reminds me that the church is old, and in old buildings, things happen. So rather than seeing it as a problem, we had these lovely people come out, and they re-piped the pipes, and now the pipe thing is working beautifully. So it was truly an AFGO that became an ABGO. And then, of course, the heat went out in the classroom. And so again, I thought, here's another AFGA, but it became another blessed growth opportunity when we have a brand new air conditioning unit. So what if life gives you these little hurdles to see how we handle them? Are we going to handle them through rage and anger and why is this happening to me? Or are we going to say, hey, this is life showing me yet another opportunity where I can be mindful? I was telling beloved Mark, his parents have a dachshund who fell off the bed, and I think it has a herniated disc. And I'm so glad they didn't euthanize it. I'm sending him pictures of the pug in his stroller to realize life can exist after you're paralyzed from the neck down. We did a little surgery, and now I have a compromised pug. It's so funny, this lady rescues dogs, and every time she walks past our house, thinking, here's your next dog, and they're all so cute. And this little white one today, he was wagging his tails. She got him at the pound. He's 7 years old, and he's looking up at the pug in the stroller, and the pug's looking down at him as best he can with his one eye. And I said, you know, right now, my full-time responsibility is to take care of this little creature that's in the stroller. As much as I'd love to bring a new, vibrant puppy running up and down the steps, walking him on the leash, I'm compelled to push the stroller and carry the pug and place him down. Sometimes he falls over, but then he picks himself up and he manages to lift his leg to pee, but then he falls over and then I pick him up. And you know, he never complains. He just embraces the life that he's given. So yeah, trust that the gold will arise when you need it. I was lying in bed this morning and I was thinking, I'm talking about receiving the gifts of life. And as I'm lying there, Humphrey is sleeping by my side snoring, and I put my little hand on there, and I thought, Every night he lies by my side so that I can receive the gift of love and the gift of devotion. And then I thought about all the problems that I've had in my life. And then that song came, Emily. I kind of live with music in my head. I can see clearly now, the pain has gone. I can see all the obstacles that were in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's going to be a bright, 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 sunshiny day. So clarity oftentimes comes out of confusion, out of an adverse situation. So I was lying there grateful for the clarity that I have. And as I'm lying upstairs with the pug snoring and the little snore from the husband over there, I'm thinking, there is such peace in this upstairs. And so I started giving thanks for the gift of peace. Boy, peace is such a valuable thing. You know, in Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, they talk about levels of prosperity. You should teach that class sometime, Phil. And you know what the highest level of prosperity is? It's peace of mind. It's not money. The highest level of prosperity is to have peace of mind. The second highest level of prosperity is to have your health. The third highest level of prosperity is to have emotionally healthy relationships. The fourth highest level of prosperity is to have a mode of self-expression that's creative and that feeds your soul. Money was way down on the prosperity list. So what if we could start courting the highest form is just peace of mind? You know, peace is waiting for us. And you know, the only reason we don't find peace is because we buy into the outer anxiety. I use a bookmark that's always meaningful, and the one I use for this particular class said this: there's no reality except the one that's contained within us. And that is why so many people live such an unreal life, because they think that the images outside of them is reality, and they never allow the world within them, that peace that passes all understanding, to assert itself. Because we've identified with the storm on the outside. And then you hear that beautiful story. You know, the Bible is one big allegory. It's one big metaphor. And the story was is that Jesus had preached all day and he was tired. And so he told his disciples, you know, I'm pooped. When we go out on the Sea of Galilee, don't wake me. I need my rest. And so he's on the ship and he's sound asleep. And all of a sudden, the storm on the seas and the boats going up and down. He's sound asleep. And the disciples, Master, Master. He said, yeah? He says, the trouble is you took the storm on the outside and you put it on the inside. Let those who have ears to hear, hear. Same thing that the Zen calendars say. So what if life will give us some turbulence out here, which is then our opportunity, our challenge and responsibility to find that peaceful place so that we can offer the world our peace when they're crazy. We can offer them our forgiveness when they're caught up in judgment. We can offer them our compassion when they have lost the sense of nurturing what is. And so often this stuff arises out of the wounds of life. The very thing that seems to be the obstacle to blessing the life that we've been given really is the gift. And then you hear that beautiful idea of the wounded healer. In the wound is where the blessing lies. I pull out Mark Nepo, because he's such a rich source of inspiration. Had cancer twice. The cancer was where he found the divinity. And at the very end of this lovely book called The Way Under the Way, it's never what we think it is. It's not the outer way. He was reminding me on your 22nd anniversary, congratulations, that there was a quote from Emerson in your wedding album. And it says, never enter into the forest where there is a path that's already made because it's somebody else's path. Try to find where there is no path and then forge your own. So in this lovely book, Mark Nepo found a way under the way, and it was through his cancer, through his forgiveness, that he found compassion for himself, and he found a whole new order of awareness. So what if another one of the great gifts of life is that you get the gift of awareness? In fact, Buddha himself says, the greatest gift we can have is the gift of awareness. So here's the awareness that he had at the very end of this book. He says, we each arrive with a gift hidden in a wound and many years to birth it. Each given a heart to carry, and rough seas to calm it, and each is seated with a worthiness and love after love through which to accept it, and each is called to enter a sorrow like an underwater cave with the breathless chance to break surface in the same world now with everything aglow. So by our willingness to dive deep into the pain, into the wound, we have the capacity then to rise out of that and to find the grace and the liberation and the freedom and all the healing dynamic, but it's by the willingness to enter into the wound. So he says this, if we make it this far, I'm 74, you're all getting up there. If we make it this far, we can on any given day, on any given morning, marvel that the clouds are the clouds. And then we get to name ourselves anew. I'm not the victim. I'm not suffering under what the label I might have given. I can name myself anew as the light in the darkness, not the darkness itself. We can use the gift that's born out of our wound, Miss Emily, the gift that's born out of our wound to find an unmarked spot from which to live. Isn't that wonderful to know? You know, I have so many wonderful friends who are in the 12-step community, and they have found the grace, the light, by facing their wound, by acknowledging it. And oftentimes they had to hit bottom before they were willingness to look within and find the goal that they could trust and the willingness to step out of a pattern that had been heretofore an escape, a trap. So he's saying, if we settle there, giving our all without giving ourselves away, you give them what you have to give and not what they want. You give your all, but you don't give yourself away. He says, then the heart within our heart will flower and the whole world will drink from its nectar. If we can give fully from the grace and the givingness of spirit within us, well, then we offer that to the world. There's a beautiful saying that says, when the flower blossoms, the bees come uninvited. Now, that's a metaphor. All we need to do is blossom. All we need to do is open our heart. And then those that need to drink can drink. So could we offer that open-hearted awareness to the world? And when the world is afraid, we can say, take refuge in my heart. It's big enough to embrace everyone and everything. It's so funny. Adam brought in these beautiful flowers, and they were sitting in the thing, and there were the white lilies that hadn't opened, and then there were the brown lilies. So I pull out the brown lilies, and it looked kind of small. So I looked at the garden out here, and I walked over, thinking of receiving the gifts of the garden at the center, and there were some beautiful phlox that had grown high, and they're very fragrant, and they were falling over. There's a rule in the garden. When the flower falls over, you get to cut it and put it in a vase and bring it in. So the phlox that had fallen over, I cut them, and I brought them in, so fragrant, and I put them with the white lilies. And just as I had arranged it, all of a sudden, I noticed that there's a little white spider that had fallen to the table, but he had a string that was connected to the phlox. And so that little white spider went up, 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 and went back into the thing. And I said, oh, if you can see God in the smallest of things, it's better than seeing an angel. So what if this is all this tapestry of the one life coming to be recognized, and we get to see it everywhere revealing itself? In Mark Nepo, oh, that's too long to read. But I'm decided to close this talk with a little poem by Gigi Mejia, because she's such an inspiration. And you know, I can talk about seeing the gift in everything, but the challenge is each one of us has to do it ourselves. And so Gigi, at the very beginning of this little book of poetry that she initially gave to me before she did the book, which is absolutely beautiful, this is where this is what the quote is. Allow nature's peace to flow into you as sunshine flows into the trees. John Muir. So here's his little pearl that he's offering us on Father's Day, the father of an environmental way of looking at life. Allow nature's peace. Now, if you can have tantra with nature, the peace in me meets the peace in the tree, meets the peace in the phlox, and the peace in the spider. Allow nature's peace to flow into you as sunshine flows into the trees. Have you ever meditated on a plant, and when the sunlight hits the leaf, literally, the light goes into the leaf and photosynthesis happening. There's a chemical experience with light and a leaf, and it brings life, and we wouldn't be on the planet without it. So God. So here's Gigi's beautiful poem, and the Zen calendar this morning was Mahatma Gandhi. He said, God never comes to us as a person, but always as an action, always as an experience. And, you know, you can think of God more as a verb than a noun. So what, and father and mother, more as a verb than a noun. So here's Gigi's beautiful poem called I See You. I see the divine in everything. And she says, beloved, I see you. I see you in every blade of grass. I see you in the churning waves of the sea. I see you in the rose under my window, in the ripe tomato that I happily ingest as the juice drips down my chin. Oh, so beloved am I, she said, and so blessed. I'm so grateful, accepting the gifts of this life, lived fully in both its ups and its downs, lived fully in both its ups and its downs. Oh, so passionately grateful. No, could we receive the gift of gratitude? In all things, give thanks. Oh, so passionately grateful for seeing, feeling, loving, that we can see the good, we can feel the love, and we can actually express it to one another. Loving with an unspeakable intensity. That's what you felt on your birthday, Hal, was that love, that intensity of love. Loving with an unspeakable intensity that words cannot even express. He finally says there is a presence without which nothing has meaning. Every breath, an inhalation of love, of healing. Every exhalation, returning the love gratefully back to the source. Every breath, an inhalation of love, of healing, and then every exhalation, returning that love gratefully to the source, receiving the gifts of life, one breath at a time, and blessing the life that we've been given. So I'm going to do a little closing meditation, and then we'll do a passing of the plate, and we'll sing a song. So we're going to imagine the bell, dong, the invitation to receive the gift of peace that's waiting for us, always already there. The willingness to receive the gift of now, a now moment that is always there. All we ever experience is the moment. To receive the gift of awareness, there is something flowering within our consciousness that is awake and aware that we are more than our thought patterns and our programming and our story. And so we claim the gift of that awareness that seems to be flowering at a deeper level. We open to receive the gift of the breath. With every inhalation, we breathe in light and love, and with every exhalation, we give thanks. So when the breath becomes conscious, we receive the gift of being fully present to what is, not trapped in some future idea of somewhere, somewhen, I'll be da-da-da, or caught up in some historical narrative of the past, but to be grateful to receive the gift of present moment awareness. And then we smile. We receive the gift of clarity that comes when all that crazy thinking stops. We claim the gift of acceptance, the deepest acceptance for the life that is within us, the life that is all around us, acceptance of the turmoil and the darkness on planet Earth, accepting that this is another yet opportunity, another abgo, another blessed growth opportunity for us to bring the light, to bring the truth, to bring the hope to the world that so desperately needs it as an action of the One. And so we claim the blessing of this moment. We claim the blessing of this life with all of its ups and its downs. Knowing that this too is good, this too is for God, and I demand to see the blessing. And when you make a demand on the universe says yes. We live in Namaste consciousness. The beloved in me bows to the beloved in you. If it's a tiny little spider on a flower, if it's a squirrel running past my car avoiding the tires, it's all the beloved coming to be seen, coming to be honored. as our own self. I can see clearly now. There's only one here, and we are it, and it is all around us and within us. And we smile to that intimacy of oneness. And as my friend Phil says, we arrive at one-ment in the one, and all is well. So open your eyes. Be here now. Happy Father's Day, Mother's Day.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org.